Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are going to be doing a show. It's been a while. We kind of hit the summer, which was a pretty busy time of year for us. And, you know, lots going on in general in my life. And after the AAU season kind of wound down, it was kind of a little slower on the basketball front. Plenty of things to talk about probably, but we just had to really kind of go with, you know, kind of waiting until we're getting kind of closer to the season really to get involved with the show and do it, you know, justice. So I figured I'd give you guys a little break while I was taking care of a lot of other important things to do with other elements of my life and such as that. But, yeah, we've got a good show tonight. Just kind of want to do sort of a roundup on what's happened, you know, since we last, you know, weighed in. And, I mean, obviously, you know, starting with, I guess we could start at the high school level. Garfield has really picked things up right where they left off with when Brandon Roy and his staff over there at Nathan Hale, they moved over there in mass. Basically, the whole staff is intact, according to Jamal Williams, who we had on the show recently, and I haven't been looking to that, contrary to that. So, and they've really brought in a bunch of players. It looks as if they've got, you know, a number of guys. There was some talk, according way back in June, that they might even get Marvin Bagley. But he was able to reclassify to 2017, and he's going to go to Duke instead. But there's still plenty of talent at Garfield. Nobody at the top of the food chain like a Michael Porter Jr. or a Jontay Porter, but you know, some really good players, and you know, one that recently. You know, confirmed was Jerron Brooks, who was there and was thinking about, since he's going to USC, transferring down to a school in Southern California for his senior year, but he decided to stay. And we got a caller, and that's what I was expecting. Is this who's this on the line?
Tyrone Jones.
There we go. There we go. I just kind of started the show off. I figured I'd start it. Yeah, you really, I'm doing great. I just started off with high school because I figured that's actually a pretty exciting topic right now with Garfield and Brandon Roy. And I just mentioned that, you know, Jerron Brooks decided to stay, you know, Ed Chang, sure, who's coming to UW, interestingly transferred there. And then, of course, Pierre Cockrell, Jalen McDaniels transferring in. Both of those guys are more South End Tacoma guys that – McDaniel's older brother's at San Diego State. Cockrell has been sort of he's certainly going to be a star basketball player from the time he was about, you know, 12 years old. He's been just a basketball story real early on in his career, and he continues to be a point guard of note on the West Coast. And
sure got the name.
You know, all kinds of guys. And then there's Marshawn Beauchamp, who's transferring in from Nathan Hale, and then of course they still have Jamon Kemp and just all the others. What's the latest you've heard on the high school scene?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, I mean, Garfield's kind of Brandon's in there doing this thing, and if anyone, you know, has any questions about Brandon's ability to bring players together, you know, it's been silenced. I mean, I know what he did at Hale, because some people think, oh, maybe that was a kind of a lucky thing with Porter. Well, I think guys are going to be a national player at Garfield this year. And I think Brandon's ability to bring players together, because he's got people want to learn under his tutelage. I mean, you know, he's got a great basketball mind. People don't realize that Brandon Roy had maybe some of the best feel player to ever play at UW, and some of the best ever. I mean,
you
know,
he's on
his way to being a Hall of Famer. There's no question. There's no question. I mean, had he been healthy, he was on his way to being a Hall of Famer. He was arguably the second best shooting guard behind Kobe when he was real healthy. And it was Roy, Wade and Kobe. And I think, you know, people realize that locally. So, they, you know, I think he's building himself up. And there's a reason for that that you and I will get into later that has to do with UW. But I think I think Brandon's going to be doing some good things. And, you know, you can't sleep locally on Beach, you know.
No,
Beach is still going to be there.
They're
going to rival
them. Beach's got plenty of talent.
Interesting.
They got plenty of talent. Kevin Porter Jr. is a great player, and Beach is going to have plenty of talent. They're always coming up with talent. That's just that's the established power. Garfield now is the new kid on the block with Roy moving there. Essentially, you know, but they're also the established power, and Ed Haskins obviously had them, you know, right there to the end, challenging Hale, and they were pretty well the second best team, although, you know, Rainier Beach also was very good and challenged Hale as well as teams like Oak Hill. You know, I mean, they really in the state tournament and in the Metro League,
oh, sure.
You know, they did a real good job of challenging a Nathan Hale team that, you know, really is, you know, world class. They were just, I mean, they were the national title team. So, you know, I think that it's going to be also another good year. O'Day is going to have some great players. Seattle Prep's always good, and they're going to have players. And there's a handful of others. West Seattle is going to be good.
Sure.
It's going to be a fun time and a lot of Tacoma teams of quality. And I don't know much about the rest of the state, but Seattle-Tacoma is just going to be another big-time dogfight in high school hoops. And, you know, again, I think Garfield's going to have to – you have to look and see what, you know, like you said, you know, people think, oh, he just got that team because he got the Porter brothers gifted to him. And, you know, I have to admit, if he didn't have the Porter brothers, he would have struggled to do what he did. But, I mean, it's obvious that he knows how to get talent, and he did it 2 years in a row. So that kind of says to me that he's going to be able to do it on a consistent basis and probably be able to transfer that to college level, too, if he continues at the rate he's going. You know,
absolutely.
So there's Brandon Roy, and I agree with you 100% about him having a basketball mind. I mean, people always talked about Detlef Schrempf as being the great, you know, white magic or all this crap at UW, and I think he was a great, but there's no question Detlef was a great basketball player. But I think Brandon probably is the best player, you know, of that generation. But yeah, but you also, I mean, of that school, but you also really can't count out Isaiah Thomas now. Isaiah Thomas has a chance of actually eclipsing even Brandon and anybody from the state, really. He's just been incredible, you know. And so getting off from a high school, I mean, let's think about, like, recruiting. I mean, Gonzaga just scored that guy from that transfer from San Jose State, you know. They're doing just fine over there. I mean, they're hard for them to – it's hard for them to miss at this point with Gonzaga. I mean, they're just killing it, you know. What's your take on the Zags at this point?
Well, I think they're, you know, they got a system down. You know, they're just kind of a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a heck of a system over there. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're executing to their system. And I think you know, I think they're going to be a tournament team for sure. I don't know how dominant they're going to be. But, you know, when you're talking, you're bringing, you know, high four-star guys off your bench every year. I mean, got a nice little system down there. And, you know, the problem there is the way they run their system, it's just not the best place to go if you want to be a pro.
No, they haven't really been able to produce many good pros. I mean, Nigel's signing over there. He signed with a European team in Eastern Europe. And, Brandon Clark, here's a guy, 17-9 rebounds, 17 points per game for in the Mountain West, you know, on a crappy Mountain West team, the San Jose State Spartans, home of Adrian Oliver. But now that's another story. So he's coming in. I mean, they've got a roster that's, you know, pretty strong. I mean, they, you know, the Albert's transferred out. You know, there's a couple guys that are gone. Zach Collins is gone. Ryan Edwards is gone. But Rui Hashimura's another guy. He'll be back. He's coming in. He's going to play a much bigger role. Karnowski's gone. Jordan Matthews gone. But Silas Melson and Josh Perkins are back. They're senior guards. Norville's back. Tilly's back. Oh, by the way, Tilly and Hashimura were outstanding in the U19 games this summer too. On top of that, Jonathan Williams is back. There's a number of others. So I mean, it's really kind of the it's more like a reloading thing with Gonzaga. How far do you think they're going to fall? I mean, obviously they went to the next title game, but they're not going to fall.
Do you think
they can't,
Nigel
I don't
made
did
the
they
right
make
moves?
It? Do I think Nigel made the right move? That's a great question. Yeah, I do. I don't. I think he probably could have stayed another year, but I don't know what good it does him. I think he was heading for Europe and having to kind of work his way up the ladder, and I don't know that he would have had as good. I mean, it's hard to say if Nigel staying there makes them a national title team. I don't think it does. Do you? I don't think they can do much better than they did.
No, I don't. I think they'd be a Sweet 16 team, though, with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think without him, they're still a tournament team for the umpteenth year in a row. You know, so, I mean, they're going to be fine. I mean, they're really going to be fine. But, you know, I mean, they're recruiting strong. I mean, they got great players coming in. You know, I would think that they're going to be just fine. But I'm not sure how to predict what they're going to do, because St. Mary's is looking really good. You know, and so is BYU. You know, they're both of those programs are pretty strong. So they might not even win the WCC this year. I mean, it seems like it's kind of slated for them to win it every year, but they might actually be an at-large team this year, which, you know, if they do struggle, it might, again, be difficult. It could have been even difficult a couple of years ago, you know, not too long ago for them to actually get in, 2 years ago, and they just got in by winning that tournament, you know, but they, you know, this last year was just too much. So what about switching colleges? The other big news really out there, you know, locally, I mean, what about UW? I mean, I guess the word is that Nate Pryor is likely going to get in, and there's a lot of whispering that he might not even qualify. So they'll have a point guard there, albeit a freshman guy.
I did hear something on that today, by the way.
What do you hear?
I heard he's still not playing with those guys.
Oh, really? Okay. So he still hasn't really made it official that he's there?
Yeah.
I got it.
Yep.
Is it possible he may go somewhere else?
No, I think from what my source told me is it's not 100% sure he's going to get in. He might just have to – he might be a late, like a winner guy, like a Brandon.
Right. Right, one of those kind of deals, yeah. Yeah, exactly which, yeah. So it's going to be a real challenging year there for Coach Hopkins. You know, you got to admit, I mean – you know, with David Crisp as your point guard, with, you know, two, maybe three big guys that are really legitimate to play at a high major D1 level. We don't know about DeRusso, what he's going to look like, but if he's like he was last year, he's basically a, you know, back of the bench, kind of a five fouls big guy that you don't want to be in there, you know, in prime time. And you got Dickerson and you got Timmons, and those guys will be improved, hopefully. But you're not going to go very far with two big guys, you know, and no point guard. So it's basically going to be a pretty bad year. And you and I have gone over, you know, all the whys and wherefores of the Romar story and the Jen Cohen complete botched job and just all the, you know, all the yahoos in between. But it's just been the biggest mishandling of you know, basketball situation in Northwest history, maybe next to, you know, like firing George Karl, those kinds of huge blunders, you know, just really bad, stupid things that people did that shouldn't, that didn't know better, but were in a position to make decisions. So going forward into that whole thing, are you hearing anything new on Husky recruiting? The big word was that they had a big visit this weekend, even though the football team was on the road. They had a big-time visit this weekend. Have you heard any news on that?
Not really, no. I mean, I know they had a couple guys in town and a point guard and a big, but, I mean, I can't get too excited about the level of recruiting they're doing.
No, can't.
I mean, these guys are three-star cats. I mean, geez. I mean,
yeah.
Compared to what Lorenzo
was
bringing in, it's just night and day, man. It's just night and freaking day.
Well, you know what it feels like to me, Tyrone? It feels like you have a major league championship, like the Sonics. You had a major league championship type of a franchise in the town, and then they go. And you're left with a AAA farm team as your only team to follow if you care about baseball or basketball or whatever.
Yep.
And like I say, let's say the Mariners moved on and they were a much better franchise than they are now, you know, say what they were about 15 years ago. And, you know, where they're winning, you know, 110 games and whatnot. And then you're left with just the Tacoma Rainiers to root for. And that's what it kind of feels like, because it's really gone from where you're bringing in guys like Emmanuel Quickley and R.J. Garrett was looking at, or Barrett was looking at UW. And they were one of the first teams to offer him way back. I mean, all the big names in the game were, you know, Romar was networking and working on I can't help but think that they would have had another couple of really big-time recruits in 2018, and I think that, you know, the best guys in town were definitely headed to UW if UW had room for them, but with very few exceptions, and none of that's true now. None of that. Not a bit of it. So they're just basically starting off. It's back to the days of where you're happy to get third-tier guys while the best guys go elsewhere. And that's what it's going to be like, bro. I hate to say it. Now, if Hopkins turns this around and they somehow, you know, eke out some success and he really, you know, commits to being here long term and really builds a program, maybe in 5 years it might be different. But, you know, what are you hearing on what, you know, why would anybody think that he'd be that dedicated to UW?
Well, that's the big problem from what I'm hearing is that this is a guy that, you know, if he has any kind of big success, I think I hate to say it, but I think Syracuse is going to come calling.
Yeah, well, they're going to, because Jimmy Boeheim is, you know, long overdue to retire. I mean, in the old days, he would have retired already, but now guys are living longer, you know, guys are living healthier lives. They can live to the older age and work later in life. So he's pushing it for a few more years, but you know, he's got to be the first choice.
When Syracuse comes calling, I mean, you know, he's going to probably be their first choice. He's got to be their first choice.
And look at all the guys they're recruiting too. They're all East Coast guys. Like he's really working all those connections.
Yep.
And,
He's keeping
all that stuff alive. He's keeping all the girl, he's got a girlfriend in every town back there, and he's keeping them all going. And up here, I don't think anybody's really really taken to him. I mean, I get the impression that the Brandon Roys and the Jamal Crawfords and the Isaiah Thomases and those kind of people, even though there's a real loyalty to guys like Conroy and Dollar, I don't think anybody's really ready to just go full on for Hopkins yet until he really has some sort of something at stake here, you know?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, I think the one bright side of this whole thing is that, you know, Brandon could end up being the guy.
That would be a very bright thing.
I don't know how Brandon's relationship is with Ben Cohen.
No, I think Brandon has not been as vocal, but he has in a way.
You and Brandon are pretty close, so.
Yeah, we have been friends. I mean, to the degree that we respect each other, and seems like there's some quality conversations that have happened between us. But mostly, it's just that he keeps on his kind of his group. I'm not sure, you know, if it's 100% him or who it is exactly that runs his social media presence. They keep on retweeting my statements about Jen Cohen that are, you know, let's just say, you know, right on the money in my opinion, but according to other people, they might judge him as being harsh. But nonetheless, that's what's going on. So I don't think he'd be doing that and liking stuff if it were not for the fact that maybe he's a little bit irritated with that situation. And I know from Jamal Williams, who's one of his top guys, who's been on our show, very clearly, without equivocation, more or less stated that he felt it was completely the quote was that it didn't make any sense what she did. So I think there's a long kind of gap between the powers that be with that were built up through Romar. There was never really a great connection between UW and Rainier Beach, but he really did put a network together here locally in Tacoma and in Seattle through guys like Roy and Isaiah Thomas and Jamal Crawford, specifically those three. And that doesn't appear to be there anymore now with Hopkins. But, you know, we'll find out as we move forward into the season. But the good news is we still got a D1 basketball team, and truthfully, they got a pretty good chance of doing some stuff this year. Jimmy Hayford's going to really have something interesting to watch over there at Seattle U. And if you're just looking to watch a winner, they're going to be a much bigger winner than the Huskies. So just out of people who are just kind of out there thinking what to do, do I want to, you know, I'll go see the Huskies, they're my Huskies. But if I actually want to watch a team that's going to win and be in games, you ought to really consider going seeing Seattle U this year. What are you hearing on Seattle U?
There's no doubt. I think Jim Hayford has a system down. He's been able to succeed in this state. And I think Seattle U is, in my opinion, it's kind of a sleeping giant, so to speak, in that conference in the WAC. They could
totally.
They could be a tournament team year in, year out over there, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I remember when they were the team that people really cared about. Huskies was always considered football, and Seattle U was really where all the sizzling basketball was going on in the 60s and the 50s. I wasn't around the 50s, but I was around in the late 60s and the 70s, and there was one pro after the other, and they had a real connection with national recruiting, and they were bringing guys in. Remember, they were bringing in guys that were not ready to qualify, but they're putting them into stashing them at Olympic JC over in Bremerton. So Olympic JC had all these players from Philadelphia and, you know, Midwest. And so it was they were a real college basketball power, and they had big time athletes and big time players. And that was back then. And then they ran into some scandal and they just decided to fold up the program in the early 80s because I guess they got caught doing some stuff. But now they're coming back, and Hayford's is clean. He's a clean guy. He knows it, but he really knows the game. He knows how to win games. And he went out there and got a bunch of transfers. He got seven transfers, Tyrone. The guys that are good, guys from Wisconsin who were in the Final Four, who played regular rotation minutes in the Final Four. So, I mean, he's got good players there. Yeah, yeah. He's got the guy from Weber State who's tough, real tough. I got it right here. I mean, he's got some real talent. So they're gonna be a much improved program, and I don't think people really are quite ready for what they're gonna see over there. They've gonna see it. Cameron did a great job of sort of just kind of building it up from nowhere. But now he's got more or less the guys that Cameron would have had this year, but he's really brought in these transfers. And so he's got Morgan Means, who Cameron had, who was a starter last year as a freshman from Compton. He's got that big kid who can shoot the ball from Lithuania, from Slovenia, Matic Kavis. And he's got those two guys from Italy, the guard, shooting guard, and the big. And then he's got that shooter from Oregon, Jake Spurgeon, and the big kid from Great Britain, Aaron Menzies, 7'3", just a big monster. But then he's got all these other guys that are transferring in, like Rashad Gittens from from Weber State, who was a, you know, basically a guy that was, he's like a senior grad transfer. You know, he's got this Herlihy guy from you know, from California. He's got Deshaun McDowell from another transfer that's sitting out a year that was at SMU. I mean, that's big time stuff, you know. And he's got Jordan Hill from Wisconsin. This guy Colin Hune is transferring up from Chemetka JC, but he's a veteran point guard that had good solid point guard skills, good solid D1 prospect. So he's just filling it up and he's got that Aaron Nettles who played alongside Nate Pryor. A lot of people thought he was better than Nate Pryor for a lot of years, and Nate Pryor had a better senior year. But I mean, he's strong. This Matt Owies guy is a guy that played for Hawaii, you know, in the Big West. I mean, legitimate D1 guys he's brought in that are going to play for him. So he's bringing up the talent level, and it's really nice to see, you know. It's nice to see something down there. What do you think about the Seattle U team? What do you think about their placement in the WAC this year?
I think they have a legitimate shot to honestly come out of that WAC. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the transfers they got in, I think they got some good impact guys, and I think they're building some depth for the future. There's some guys that are, you know, controllable assets that'll be there past 1 year. And I think I think he's going to recruit well there, because the thing with Seattle U is it's a unique school that you're going to have a chance every year to compete for an NCAA tournament berth, and you're in arguably one of the top metropolitan cities in the country
that have a
basketball program. So
that's right.
You know, and that was an advantage that Romar played to, and he was able to recruit so well. And I think also with Hopkins, there's just not the trust within the community at the high school level and amongst the AU coaches that there probably is with Hayford. And I think, you know, Hayford tried to get some of these guys to Eastern, but it's a tough pull, and now he's able to get some of these guys to Seattle U, and I think he's going to also kind of pick up there where there's a gap and an opportunity there because of the firing of Romar. And I think it's kind of scary because all of a sudden Seattle U could be the school where the kids are starting to go to.
And I absolutely think so. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's, I think there's some ulterior motives there why Hopkins is looking back east. And I think we got to keep our eyes open to that.
Yeah, I mean, I've even heard rumors that, you know, he has a lot of roots in back in Syracuse, even with, you know, keeping a home there, you know. So I don't know if that's true or not, but there's a lot out there. There's a lot of talk, and when there's smoke, there's fire. So, I mean, the thing is, you know, I think that, you know, when Brandon Roy is retweeting Jim Bassnight saying that Jen Cohen is completely blundered, you know, and completely incompetent, you know that there's some sort of a gap there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if he ain't doing it because it's funny and he doesn't agree, I think he's too busy and too important of a guy to do something like that if he doesn't kind of agree with it. So, the curious thing is the Garfield getting Ed Chiang under that circumstance. I think maybe Hopkins is trying to build a bridge, or perhaps that was a recommendation of Conroy or Dollar to really try to build a bridge with Roy. And, you know, that's a real smart thing for him to do, truthfully. And so hopefully that'll pay dividends and he can bring in, help Roy, and maybe down the road, you know, we can see a transition towards a more sensible head coach for Washington, like a Brandon Roy. He's got contacts here. Now, I'm not saying Hopkins isn't a good coach. I mean, he's a great coach. I just question the loyalty factor. I mean, I just don't know how long he's going to be here. I think it's anything other than that he would never turn down Syracuse if they offered him the job is hype to me at this point. So I'll believe it when I see it, and I will be seeing it soon enough. You know, will be seeing it soon enough. Because, I mean, you know, you and I both know, because we do basketball big time. We're not like these guys that don't know the difference between, like, you know,
Xavier Johnson, the guy that visited this week, and Emmanuel Quickley. And there's people out there that just don't know the difference between those two guys. But like, for instance, Syracuse, I mean, what do you get with Syracuse? You get an arena that's nicer than the Key Arena at its peak, number one. Number two, you got an incredible amount of alumni support from all kinds of powerful, wealthy alumni. And so you got all kinds of money flowing into that program for not just this year, not just the last 5 years, but like for 50 years. I mean, it's been a long time that that's been a strong program with a lot of support. It's really been the number one program at that school. It's, I mean, Syracuse football has had some legacy, but I mean, it's been a big time. That's a basketball school, and it's in a huge market in the midst of the Northeast, where New York City and Boston and, you know, tons of other cities, upstate New York and, you know, Pennsylvania and everything else feed that school, and just a tremendous legacy of basketball players. I mean, you just don't have to go that far.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons. It's a huge, huge basketball school. Why would he want to stay at a school where they deliberately just basically cut the cord on basketball, and it's obviously a football school? I mean, any thought that it wasn't a football school ended when they fired Romar, in my opinion. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So, I mean, why would he want to be ahead of something where he knows that football is always going to be number one, and he's going to be like, you know, move over, kid, you bother me every time he wants something, or go to a place where he's like the king of the king of the king of the world, you know? I mean, of course he's going to take the Syracuse job. You know, and plus, it's not like he's married to Seattle. It's not like he went to Mercer Island High School like Quinn Snyder or something. I mean, that's what it is. But let's move on to something more pleasant. Isaiah Thomas. What about this? What do you say?
I mean, I feel so bad for the guy. I mean, you and I have had these conversations. This is just, first of all, from everything I'm hearing, is he was completely blindsided by this. And I've heard rumors that Danny Ainge is so cutthroat that he would even trade his own son, Austin, if he has to. I mean, this is a guy that just wants to win, win, win. And he looks at it as a situation where he's playing chess. He's got Marcus Thornton and got Isaiah Thomas for Marcus Thornton. Then now he's taking Isaiah Thomas and he's getting Kyrie Irving. So he's thinking he turned Marcus Thornton into Kyrie Irving. I mean, yeah, an argument could be made Kyrie Irving's a 25-year-old potential Hall of Famer and a first-team NBA guy. That's true. But you're giving up a guy here that is 28 and is in the peak of his career for the next 3 years. Yeah, there is some uncertainty there with an injury. But, I mean, there's just no loyalty in this game. There's no loyalty in Isaiah had season, and he was a free agent right now. He's sitting on $250 million. The problem is he's playing for $6 million next year with a potential hip injury and coming into a free agent contract year. I just feel so bad for the kid, man. Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Then
if
he performs and he averages just 20 a game, that's all he's got to do, average 20 a game, and then win the NBA title, he's going to get paid.
It's just horrendous that they would trade Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, when you really think about it, really, Isaiah Thomas last year, I mean, what he did last year, I don't think he can possibly look at that and just say, oh yeah, I'm getting rid of this little short shrimpy guy that is, you know, it's going to be a defensive liability or just too short for the NBA or whatever rationale you want to use. I mean, let's be real. Isaiah Thomas, points per game, 30 points, 29 points per game in the NBA.
Yeah.
You don't do that because you're lucky or you're just, you know, you're getting too many shots. Because no, on a team that was the number one seed in the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Division, I mean, you know, Isaiah Thomas just killed it. Yeah, I mean, he just killed it. I mean, this is the NBA. You know, no one does this. He just killed it. I mean, you know, he played long minutes. He played 76 games, played long minutes. You know, I mean, he shot 46% from the field,
You know,
the problem is,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Your body takes a beating. I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Alan Robinson, you know, he had to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, imagine being
Steve Nash.
No complaint. Yeah, I mean, but Steve Nash was 6'3". I mean, we're talking 5'8" on a lucky day. This guy is just taking his body to the lane and getting pounded. And
Every time. Yeah.
You know, every time.
No, I agree. And he worked his tail off. He shot 38% from three. You know, 91% from the free throw line. Okay. That doesn't happen by accident when you're getting as fouled as much as he did. I mean, he's getting fouled a lot because he's driving to the hoop all the time. You know, I mean, he had a ton of attempts. I mean, we're talking, you know, he was at the line a lot, you know? So, I mean, yeah, you know, it irritates me. It really irritates me. I mean, I sort of look at what happened with Isaiah and it just, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't get it. You know, I just don't get it.
Awesome.
You know, the thing is, in a sense, he's not going to make any less money because now we'll look at it this way. He's going to Cleveland, and Cleveland now has a guy that averaged a lot more points than Kyrie Irving did last year, okay? And Irving also has had injury problems. So let's say they get Isaiah in December or January. He's got, you know, basically 5-6 months of basketball ahead of him. You mean to tell me LeBron is not going to make the playoffs? You know, he's got 5-6 months of basketball. They'll probably be in the finals again against Golden State. And guess what? I think they got a better chance of winning it with Isaiah and Jay Crowder and LeBron and Kevin Love, that crowd that they did last year. I really do. You know, they were completely outclassed by the Warriors, but I think they actually improved their overall chances. You know, and the injuries, who knows what will happen because of injuries, but I think it's good. Plus, they got that draft pick. They got a couple draft picks, but they got that draft pick from the Nets. And, you know, you got to figure, you know, they're going to be sitting pretty good after the end of this year. They got, you know, LeBron, I guess, he's in his contract year this year, too, right? Besides Isaiah, right? LeBron,
yeah.
Yeah, so they got a big challenging postseason or offseason after this year's over. You know, if they may lose LeBron, they may lose Isaiah, you know, whatever. And they got this. They'll probably have a draft pick that will probably be a top four pick, on top of being probably a top two or three team in the NBA. So, I think Cleveland made out just fine. I don't know how the Celtics rationalize this, but they probably think that they're making an upgrade with, you know, buying a younger player that's more of a prototype NBA point guard, you know, not 5'9 or whatever. So they probably think they're doing better, but I don't know if they will. I think Isaiah and Avery Bradley really were the spunk that really got those tough wins last year.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. Avery, I think you lose a big element of toughness.
Yep, absolutely.
Two guys with chips on their shoulders.
Absolutely, and fearless, and just never quit, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the passion between those two guys. It was just like a really passionate team, and that's why they came out on top. You know, they were the Cavs were too much for them, just talent wise, with LeBron and stuff. But they beat you know John Wall, and those Wizards. That was a tough matchup to get that win. That was really a tough series. They really showed they were. I mean, look at John Wall. It's almost like David and Goliath. AB like Isaiah and John Wall. John Wall is a big, tall point guard and just all world skills. And they end up getting the win over him. They end up winning the series over him. You know, it's an amazing story. Mm-hmm. You know. So what about some of these other former UW guys out there? Actually, I want to ask you, first of all, what do you think – I kind of give you my opinion. What do you think about the Cavs now with Isaiah? What do you think they're going to end up doing?
Well, I mean, one thing we were just talking about made me think of this was toughness. I mean, I think Boston last year had a chip on their shoulder.
Yep.
Primarily led by Avery and Isaiah.
Right.
Which was infectious. And I think –
losing and Jay Crowder too.
Yep.
I mean, those are your three toughest guys. To me,
yep.
Kyrie Irving plays with a cool jacket on, and so does
yep.
Gordon Hayward.
Yep.
They're both good ball players, but they're kind of into the whole Hollywood, how they look and, you know, image and all that. And I think, I mean, you know, Avery Bradley is super private.
Uh-huh.
He's not into social media. And Jay Crowder and Isaiah are warriors. And I think
yeah.
losing that is a huge, huge – and I think nobody in the NBA wants to win as LeBron.
No. No kidding.
So you add Isaiah and LeBron, those two guys that are going to have this burning desire to win.
Yeah.
If Isaiah can come back healthy, even if he comes
yep.
back mid-year and plays even at 80% of what he's able to do,
mm-hmm.
with Jay Crowder, I think Cleveland wins the NBA championship.
You know, I think so. I really do. I think you look at just the production of what he was able to do last year with that 29 points a game, and you know, with the you know, the assists and even the rebounding numbers. It's amazing at his height. He's a great rebounder, great free throw shooter. You know, I just think that he's going to probably, you know, basically, I think he's going to be the kind of guy that can put the team on his back. I didn't see that from Kyrie Irving. I thought the guy that put his team on his back was always LeBron. And now you got two guys that can put their team on their back and just rise to the occasion, with both of those guys. And I think it's going to make the team overall better. And like you said, I think Jay Crowder is a lot bigger story than people realize. I think he's going to take a lot of pressure off LeBron with guarding the other team's top wing, and not having LeBron have to be the guy to do as much of the work on defense. So I just think it's going to be a win-win for Cleveland. And I'm glad you agree with me. What about the Warriors? I mean, now they got basically everybody back. How can you possibly think that they're going to lose it? That's the question. What would it take for them to not win it again this year?
Well, they're going to be tough. I mean, I think probably if them and Cleveland would be a hell of a battle. It just depends. Can they stay healthy? And I still think Cleveland's got the better interior game now.
Yeah, they might.
You know, with Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. Also, Cleveland's developing some real nice depth on the wing. If you can get Isaiah back. I mean, Derrick Rose, he averaged 18 a game last year and shot 48% from the field. I mean, that's solid. And
that's really solid.
So
yeah. Him and Isaiah Thomas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's funny because now you got Derrick Rose and Deron Williams are vying for your backup point guard for Isaiah Thomas. I mean, there was a time when those guys – it's amazing, you know. It's like those guys were considered like these big-time names, and people were saying that Isaiah Thomas, you know that wasn't even good enough to – start at UW or something when he came out of college.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to be a bust when he gets to college. It's just amazing what Isaiah's done, you know. And I think it's going to be. I think it'll be a big deal. They might actually.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them win it this year, Cleveland. I got friends that are really big Warriors fans. They're going to poo-poo that, but I'm
going to say if everything goes well with Isaiah's health and overall everything stays the same as far as health goes. I think that the Cleveland is going to be right neck and neck with them if they're in the finals again. And I think that there's something about the karma of Isaiah Thomas and LeBron. It just seems like it's a winning combination. You know.
I agree.
You know. But getting back to college basketball a little bit, what about the Pac-12? What are you thinking about this Pac-12? It's another – powerhouse league, and it's just too bad that neither UW or Wazoo have got a chance and snowball's chance in hell, I guess is the best way of putting it, of being any kind of competitor in it. But you know, Oregon's going to be there, you know. SC's going to be there. They're probably maybe even the second best team in the league after Arizona, who's going to be just a giant national player this year. And then UCLA, you know, you can't count them out. They got a bunch of great players coming in, and they were right there this last year with Lonzo Ball. So what do you think about Melo Ball with his Lamborghini and his shoe contract?
Did you see the video?
No, I haven't seen it. What do you think?
You didn't see the commercial?
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it. I saw it on Twitter.
Lonzo's rapping, and then you got LaMelo with his shoe, and then they drive off in the Lamborghini and the G-Wagon.
It's just nuts.
It's
it's actually a really interesting
concept. If you think about it, what if Big Baller Brand becomes the first shoe company out there that starts giving all these top 20 players their own shoe, and then they just stick with them?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if these high school kids start getting their own shoe,
mm-hmm.
and you got, you know, the top 15 players in America, they all go to Big Baller Brand, they get their own shoe, and
mm-hmm.
then they end up, you know, out of those 15, probably seven of them will be NBA guys at least. And
yeah.
then
what about the NCAA? Are they gonna not be able to play for the NCAA with their own shoe?
I think they will. I think there's nothing wrong with it as long as they don't get any money. Maybe the money of that goes to the families or something. Who knows?
Well, that's the thing, is if it goes to the families, it's one thing. I think the only reason it works for LeVar Ball is because he's their dad. You know, and it's just like the thing of you know, Spencer Hawes is living up on Queen Anne Hill and he gets to have a fancy sports car because of that. You know, if he was coming from, you know, Keokuk, Iowa and some hay wagon or something like that, and he all of a sudden shows up with a fancy car, then yeah, you think, oh, that's, you know, that's cheating. But, you know, basically, you know, yeah, I don't know if the NCAA is gonna go. I guess there's really no ruling on it yet, but it seems like it's a huge red flag. I mean, but I think they'll probably let it roll because it's his dad, it's his family. But I don't see how you can go and you can give that a shoe and a big advance to, say, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. and say, okay, here's your shoe. We're signed you to a shoe deal. I think that the NCAA is going to probably squawk about that, and because it's based on their athletic ability, that's what they're going to say. And so, yeah, it would be interesting. But what they could do, check this out. What they could do is could make it a lot more attractive to not play college basketball, like what's his name did. Brandon, you know, Jennings, when he went over to Europe, or like Terrence Ferguson went over to the Far East out of high school. If you're not only getting a contract to play in Japan or Germany or Lithuania or something, but you're also getting a big shoe deal, then it makes it – you could probably attract guys. And then it kind of really throws that whole – the whole idea of college basketball, this one and done thing, may be into question. But I'm kind of wondering, where does LeVar Ball get the money? Does he need to get some kind of venture capitalist involved to back him for that? Because how does he get the money? Is he going to get it all from Lonzo Ball? I mean, where's he going to get the money to pay all these guys?
That's the thing. I mean, who knows? Just LeVar Ball guy's a freaking genius, though. I mean,
he's a very interesting cat. Yeah.
He's a smart, smart cat. I mean, look at all the publicity he's creating. I mean,
I know.
He's an interesting
cat. He's like Kim Kardashian almost. And the thing is, it's all, and dare I say it, Donald Trump. I mean, the thing is, he's getting this whole thing going, and really all it takes is some venture capital, and he's already got two winners already, just based on all the PR he's got with his two kids. And he's, you know, it's like, it's when you, a lot of people, when they come in to invest money into something, that all you have is a, you know, some kind of a, you know, blueprint. He's got a guy in the NBA with a number two pick that's going to be I don't care what anybody says, Lonzo Ball is going to be a major, major star player in the NBA. I believe that. I think he's a solid, solid player. I don't know about Melo Ball. I have no idea what he's going to be doing. What's your take on Melo Ball?
Melo Ball is a stud. I mean, he's kind of like a Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's what they're marketing him as. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, we'll see.
He can just it'd be interesting to see how he does against the real deal competition. But he's a gunner. I mean, put it up. I don't think he's the same guy as Lonzo. Totally different player. But I think
he could be a Ryan Appleby, or he could be a Steph Curry. It just depends on what kind of dedication he has to working at it. You know.
You nailed
it. You know, exactly. You know, it's the one thing he's got is he can take it to the rack and score on penetration. He can shoot like crazy. I just haven't seen the defense has been sort of the thing that kind of worries me. You know, if I was going to invest in him, you know, big time, you know, as an NBA GM. But then again, you know, that worked well for Zach LaVine, you know, so you never know. But what about Jello Ball, the other ball brother?
You know, Jello Ball. I love that name, Jello.
Well, they all have great names, but especially Mello Ball. I thought Mello Ball was the top one from the beginning, but Jello Ball is kind of odd. What do you think about him? What's he going to do?
I think Jello Ball's not a good. I mean, I think he's awful.
Who's better, Jello Ball or the Micah Downs' younger brother? LeBlanc?
LeBlanc, man. I'm going to have to give the edge to LeBlanc. What about Micah Downs' dad? I think he was trying to become like a LeVar before LeVar.
He was like a Juanita LeVar, but it just didn't have the juice to get in TMZ like LeVar can. LeVar just knows how to come up with the one-liners.
LeVar does. He's a big time player.
He's a big time playboy. So we got the Pac-12. You know, another team that's kind of interesting, truthfully. Just from the standpoint of UW guys, is the Chicago Bulls. I mean, now they just picked up Quincy Pondexter. They got Justin Holiday.
Yep.
What do you think about the Chicago Bulls? Are you a Bulls fan now that they got all these UW guys?
I love it. I mean, you also got Zach LaVine.
And Zach LaVine, another guy, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I think. I think the Bulls could be doing it. I really do. You know?
Yep.
I mean, they're a young team. I mean, it depends on how healthy LaVine gets. You know, but if LaVine gets healthy and they might be something to be reckoned with there.
Well, they didn't have a bad year last year. They're 500, you know, they made the playoffs. And they got Holiday, Pondexter, LaVine. They got some other guys that are some pretty talented team. They got Dwayne Wade. They got Robin Lopez. Chris Dunn. There's some good.
Yep.
And you got the guy that you really shouldn't sleep on. I know that I was kind of alone and really trumpeting this guy amongst a lot of my friends, but Lauri Markkanen. That guy, man. I just think he's going to be a big time NBA guy. He's just like he's a very unique player. I mean, he's just a great shooter for a guy that tall.
When
he gets to the NBA, he's not Larry Bird. He's not that kind of overall basketball mind, but he could be almost that difficult of a matchup. You know, just not that great of a player, but kind of difficult in a lot of ways that Larry was difficult, where he just could shoot the ball from anywhere. You know, he's like that. But I like Lauri Markkanen. I think he's going to be a good player. They're a young team, but they got some players. What do you think about Boston moving up this year? Do you think they're going to do it, or what do you think? Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. I don't think Chicago's a playoff. There's too many holes. They're just, I think they're a lottery type team. I think they're going to try to build through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think you got to look at situations with, LaVine. And is LaVine going to come back the same player? I just don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. He's kind of – I think he could be exposed. And then here's the thing is they lose Jimmy Butler. Now all of a sudden, you know, Minnesota becomes a legitimate contender. What do you think about Minnesota? You think they're going to be get to the finals against Cleveland? What do you think? How good can Minnesota be?
I really like Minnesota. I think that's a team, you know, if they can get another piece or two, I think as the season progresses, that's a team that could contend and maybe knock off the Warriors.
Yep. They've got interesting roster.
Three
veterans. Yeah. Jamal Crawford, at 37 years old, he's still killing it. 17 years in the NBA, and he just looks like a million bucks. You got Big Taj Gibson. You got Jeff Teague, Jimmy Butler. It's a strong squad, man. You got Gorgie Dang. You got Carl Anthony Towns. You got some good players. Tyus Jones is a good young player.
And the other
you know?
Guy, their best player is probably Wiggins.
Yeah, and then I forgot. You can't forget Wiggins is the main guy. Exactly. So I mean, they're going to start. I think they're going to start making some noise this year. I really do. I think they cleaned house with all the young projects that you know that obviously showed potential, and those being Zach LaVine and Ricky Rubio, and they're going with veterans and to surround Wiggins and some of these other younger guys, and it's Taj Gibson's interesting. I remember Paul Fortier he said that he had to make fun of those UW guys a little bit about how Taj Gibson was not really all that scary. Because he seemed like he was kind of a big scary guy when they had to face him. He'd point out how they were this is a guy that you could beat because he was so tough. But he's turned out to be a pretty good player, Gibson.
Oh yeah, oh there's no doubt.
He's been a solid player, and that goes back to the days of USC back when they used to pay players like Taj Gibson and OJ Mayo. They used to pay out a lot of money. Now they don't do that anymore, do they?
You know, I don't know. I think SC, it's just hard to know with this coach they got, you know.
You know, Appleby said if he pays it, they're going to do well. So
I think Appleby does pay.
Well, Appleby what?
I think Appleby said on our show that he pays.
I know, he did. He did. Yeah, he did. That was funny. Yeah, he goes, I hear he pays, so that was good. So, or whatever he said. But, Minnesota looks really good. Well, how about out west? We got like a couple of minutes left. This would have been a really good show, by the way, Tyrone. We had a good, this is a solid, solid show. How about out west? What do you think about who's going to give gold, who's going to really provide any kind of a oil for Golden State out west? Who do you think is the best chance of really making it to that Western Finals against them?
Oof, that's a tough call, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's very tough. Well, let's look at it real quick. You got Oklahoma Thunder. I mean, not really. I mean, Clippers. I don't think so. Maybe they'll be better, though, truthfully. Because, Chris Paul is gone, but they did bring in some a little more depth now, and they've got some talent there for sure. The Mavericks, probably not. Rockets, obviously, everyone thinks they're going to be improved, you know. San Antonio, who do you think is going to be there? San Antonio is getting really old, but, I mean, Phoenix Suns are still too young. Trailblazers are kind of a mess. Jazz are good, but still probably not really that good. I mean, they're still kind of you wonder how they're even an NBA team. They really don't have any big-time players much. I mean, it's like I just don't know who's going to compete with them. If you had to guess one, here we are on September 3rd, if you had to guess what team is going to compete with the Golden State Warriors, would be the best team in the West this year, who would it be?
I'd probably have to say the T-Wolves. Yeah.
You know something? It very well may be them, and very well may be them. Well, on that note, do you have any last thoughts? You said you had maybe had some news for us. Kim Grinnell is buying a new pair of shoes.
Oh, yes. I did hear that Kim Grinnell has just ordered. He's on the website called Elevate.com, and he just picked up the brand new Elevation shoes. Actually, they're third-party manufactured by BBB, LeVar Ball. And they got about a 6-inch steel in them for Grinnell, which would increase his height from about 5'1" to 5'7".
Reynolds with the big baller brand. I think he's going to be sporting those baller brand shoes down there at the Tyee Club here this fall for Husky football. So what was there? And you said something about there might be some other news about any other kind of interesting things, or should we, or is it still too early for, let's wait for next week?
Yeah, I think it's kind of we'll hop on this next week and I'll see what I can bring to the table.
Sounds good. Well, this is great. We had another great show. And for Tyrone, this is Jim Bassnight for Talking Hoops. We'll see you next week. I think we're going to be back consistently every week here. Sorry about the break, but it was summer and there's lots of things going on in this beautiful Northwest. But we're back in the hoop swing. Football's on, so we know that the guys are going to start working out down there, and it's going to be a good fall, and then we're going to have a great season this year. I can honestly say, unfortunately, the Huskies are going to have a hard year probably, but it's going to be a great basketball season. So if you're looking forward to basketball like me, you're going to want to be here talking hoops every week, and we'll see you next week.